Good morning, church. I think a bit loud. It is my joy and privilege to stand here again and share the word of God. Today, many of us are away, and including our pastors, Pastor Rick and Dr. Andrew is in the U.S., and Pastor Jim is in Cambodia. So most of the worship team members are gone, too, so I had to lead a worship at the same time. Take this time to share the word of God with you. Yeah, let's pray, and before we go to word of God, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you that you have been so good to each one of us, bringing us here in your presence and giving us this privilege to listen from you. We pray the Lord you will use each one of us. You will give us a spirit that we will receive the word in a very special way, Lord. I am nothing before you, Lord. I pray the Lord you will use me as your mouthpiece so that the church will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We just read a story about a woman from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, 3 to 9. And all the women should be proud of this woman. There are so many things to learn from this woman, and the woman is considered to be one of the Bible character who did the right thing in the right time, who grabbed the right opportunity doing the best for the Lord Jesus, for our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me briefly highlight the story again, and then we will look at how we can learn from this story. I think we can reduce a little bit. It's a bit too loud. Well, once Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, and suddenly there came a woman, uninvited guest, just pop in with an alabaster vial of oil, very costly perfume, pure nard. She broke the vial and poured it over his head. It was a strange and unusual moment for all of them. When she came in, probably the whole environment has changed. So people who were indignantly remarking to one another, saying, "Why has this perfume been wasted? What is she doing? For this perfume might have sold for over 300 denarii. It's a big amount of money. And the money given to the poor, they were scolding her even. Why waste it? You just waste it." They were crumbling to one another and scolding her. Well, in the midst of all this crumbling, Jesus responded, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her?" Probably a pin drop silent after Jesus responded. And then Jesus continued to say, "She has done a good deed to me." Jesus continued saying, "For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before the burial." Indicating that he's going to die very soon. His time is coming. But disciples could not understand that. And then lastly, Jesus declared, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be spoken in memory of her." That's the story we have just read. Well, this story has a very significant lesson for us to learn as a Christian. Looking at the story, I noticed that the woman gives her best in the right time. And her giving was greatly recognized by our Lord Jesus. And at the end, Jesus greatly honored her for what she had done. So this morning, I have entitled my message as "Giving Our Best to the Lord." Giving our best to the Lord. I want to throw out three principles from this story. Why should we give our best to God? Why should we give our best to God? The first principle we should give our best to God is because God deserves our best. God deserves our best. Let us see what is happening here at verse 3 to 5. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, of pure nard. and she brought the vial and poured it over his head. Now you know the story. Here's an uninvited guest suddenly pop in and disturb the whole environment and proceed to do something unexpected, unusual towards someone who is not her guest. It is not even in her house. It is in someone's house. And what she did was not ordinary gesture. And the gift was not an ordinary gift as well. So Mark described the quality of this gift in four ways. Number one, it is an alabaster oil. It is a spikenard, very precious. It is costly and it is pure. And the woman just brought it and poured it over his head. She should have opened the seal properly and poured it. But instead, she proked it. Which means there's a sense of urgency. Now, when, for example, in case of any emergency, you don't have time to find a key to open a door. You don't have time to open the door and slowly go inside. If you want to save someone in a fire, you just need to prok the window. Break the window, break the door, and went inside. That's what is happening right now here. There was an urgent need that she proked it. Some commentators say that usually the spikenard, the precious oil, would preserve tightly in a little pot, and then they have to. Since it is sealed, they have to open it, and it takes time to open that. It's not so easy. So they said it might have easier for her to just brok it. And not only that, there was a sense of generosity when she offered this. She gave everything she had generously. She poured it out. What will remain if she proked a vial and poured it out, you know? It's everything. Without keeping it for herself, generously offered everything. She poured it out. She broke the vial and just poured it over Jesus' head. When we read Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44, we had a similar story there about the widow's offering. Jesus was watching over the offering in a temple, treasury, and many people passed by the temple, and then they threw a lot of big amounts in the God's treasury. But it never captured the minds of never captured the attention of Jesus. He keeps watching. But when a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins, few cents, immediately it captured the attention of Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into treasury than all the others. They all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, and she had to live on." So it's a very similar story with this. Mark mentioned these two unnamed women in his gospel who have offered whatever they had in their life, which means they have given out their best, whatever they had. All of it, they didn't leave anything behind for themselves. These both accounts use the same phrase in the Greek text, in the original text, that conveys the same idea that their gift was well recognized and their gift satisfied the Lord. Well, even though she did her best, in verse 4 and 5 we see that, but some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. If you read Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 15, it will tell us that a denarius is a daily wage of the average laborer. So by that standard, if we count this, what women just wasted, you know, by that standard, if we calculate, the woman's ointment was worth a year's wages. It was an outstanding sacrifice. Not only that, if we read Mark chapter 6, verse 37, 200 denarii was seen to be adequate to feed 5,000 people. It's a huge amount. Interesting to see that. You know, let's see this. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they say to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" No wonder others were scolding her, because 300 denarii was a huge amount of money. If 200 denarii can feed 5,000 people, and here she had just wasted over 300 denarii. Can you imagine that? This gift was pure. It is high quality. Precious worth years' income that can even feed more than 5,000 now. If 2,000 can feed 200 can feed 5,000 people, then 300 over 300 denarii can feed more than 7,000 people? Probably. I don't know. That's how expensive, that's how the gift that she had offered. Even though she had done her best, majority of the people were not happy. They were not happy of what she had done. Now just think about it and put yourself in her shoes right now. Like, have you ever faced this kind of situation in your life? Have you faced any criticism or discouragement when you are serving God, when you are giving to God? Keeping this in our mind, I want to take you to the second principles. Why should we give our best to God? We should give our best to God because God recognizes our best. Look at verse 6 to 8. When they were indignantly grumbling and scolding her, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." Sadly, the disciples who were with him for so long were complaining and scolding. But Jesus countered them, saying, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her?" Now, if I say, "Leave me alone. Leave me alone." It is a strong expression even for us today, even in our common communication. Jesus is acknowledging her gift here, that she has given out everything. And he's saying to his disciples, "Let her alone. Why do you bothering her?" Now, this event has reminded me of my experience back home in India when I was serving as a youth pastor in the church. At one point of time, we spent some amount of money for the cleanliness campaign in town. So we went out, we felt that as a Christian, we felt that we have a responsibility to keep our town clean. That's how we volunteer ourselves and all our youth members. We went out to clean the town, voluntary service. And then, of course, we spent a lot of money from our church, from our youth's account. And then there were a lot of people coming and appreciating us as well. But on the other hand, we also found that some of our church leaders were not happy with the money that we have spent. They say that the money should go for mission work. It shouldn't go to the awareness of cleanliness, you know. So there were a lot of issues. And then eventually when the AGM came, they did not approve our audit report. They said, we misused the money. The money should go to the mission field. It shouldn't be. So that's how we need to go through a lot of process. We need to call in our advisors. We need to call in our auditors and do the whole thing, whole process again. Now, when we try to explain to them what we are doing is right and we are doing it for the community, they were not able to listen. They were not able to understand what we are doing. So we were having a meeting about that, and then one of our youth advisors says, after a lot of complaining from our church leaders, one of our youth advisors says, "I really appreciate what our youth has done for the community." I mean, he was the only one who appreciated what we had done during that time. And then he said, He said something like, service to God, service to man is service to God, something like that. And then he said, if the church is not willing to pay, willing to accept the money that they have spent, I'm willing to pay for it because it's worth spending. They have done for the community. Let me pay for it. The moment he said that, the whole discussion, the murmuring, the crumbling, everything just calmed down. And then they were able to accept our budget. And then from that onwards, Town Cleanliness Awareness Campaign became one of our event calendar in our youth. And that's one of the things that we were really happy about it. I'm sure we all face these kind of similar situations in our life. Now, what the Word of God is telling us is this. The moment we give our best to God, our effort, our gift is well accepted and recognized by God, even though there are criticisms and complaints from others. Maybe your family, maybe your friends, and a community. When you give something for the missions, maybe someone complains. Someone might say that you have just wasted. Maybe you are very busy in serving in a worship team, very busy serving in a church, and your family might say you're wasting your time. Instead of spending your time in your studies, you're wasting too much on this service. I mean, this kind of situations we might face in our life. In verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, "For you have always the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me." Jesus is indicating here, again, urgency. Jesus is indicating here two times that his time of death is near. "You do not always have me" simply means my time is near. I'm going to die. "She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial." It's very clear again, more clear than before. "She has anointed my body before the burial." In verse 8, he's going to die soon. But sadly, even if he gives hints to them very clearly that the time is limited for him to stay with them, they were not able to understand the suffering mission of Jesus that Jesus is going to through. But a woman who is an invited guest, a named woman who just popped in, was able to understand the suffering mission of Jesus more than anyone else in the room. In fact, if we read verse 10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, had already approached the chief priest to betray him, and they were looking for the right time to catch him. The moment is already prepared in verse 9, verse 10. That Jesus, knowing that his death is near, he was giving hints to his time, to his disciples, that his time is very limited. And she says, "She has anointed his body before the burial." But the disciples couldn't understand that. Now, she was the one who did the best thing in the best time, in the right time, did the right thing in the right time. Let us keep doing our best for the Lord, wherever it may be. Like, I want you to take to let us to the another principle. Why we should give our best to God? The third principle is that we should give our best to God because God honors our best. Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Wow. Now, what a comforting word it would have been for that woman to hear such a great commendation from the mouth of Jesus after getting all the scolding from his disciples. Now, do you realize this? A very insignificant woman, her name is not even mentioned in this. Now, she was an uninvited guest who did not even speak a word throughout the conversation. Do you realize that she's the only woman in the room, just doing what she could. just listening what others are talking and complaining about her, and get scolding from others. She was just bearing all the arrows that is shooting at her, you know. Listening the arguments patiently from both sides. Let's just place ourselves in our shoes in that situation. What would be your reaction? What would be your emotional state as a woman among men in that culture? It must have been a hard time for her, listening all those complaints and scoldings from men. But after hearing the word of Jesus honoring her of what she had done, I'm sure she was relieved and satisfied of what she has done. Not regret, but fully satisfied. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Wherever the gospel is preached. Today we have learned three principles from this story. We should give our best to God because God deserves our best. Because God recognizes our best. Because God honors our best. Looking at this insignificant woman's act, how is our giving to God as a Christian? When I say giving, I'm not talking about giving money or tithes to the church, but it could be in terms of your service in your workplace. It could be, if you are a teacher, it could be in your teaching ministry, are you giving your best? It could be in your studies, if you're a student, are you giving your best in your studies? Are you giving your best service if you're serving in a church? Or you are not giving wholeheartedly, half-heartedly you're serving in the church? It could be in parenting, of how you're investing your time with your kids. Every Monday is my time to give, to take care of my kids, because my wife goes to class on Monday. Even though she goes to class, I have a lot of assignments due, so I will still be sitting in front of my computers, and I let my kids play it on their own. And then later on, I'll realize since they have no one to entertain them, later on I'll find them like lying down on a sofa seat. You know, I find them lying down, fell asleep on the floor. Sometimes my son will do that, and then I will realize, oh, I should have focused on them. I should have played with them. So this message is also very much applicable in my life that, oh, Monday is the only time that I took care of my kids, and then I was not able to give my best to my kids. It could be in relationship. With your spouse, are we giving our best to our spouse? You know, whatever we do is for the Lord. If you feel that you have not done your best in your workplace, or you're just working for the sake of your earnings, then I think it's a great reminder for us to give our best shot in your workplace. In terms of your studies, maybe we can start now. If you feel that you have not given your best to your family, then we can start right away, sacrificing your time with all your heart. Sometimes we have too many things to concentrate on, to focus on, so we give half here, we give half there, we leave half there, and we were not able to give wholeheartedly in not even in one place. And that's not the thing that we should do. Let us give our best in whatever you do, we do, because God deserves our best. Start looking out to grab the opportunity to give our best in every area, like this woman has done. And secondly, as a Christian, we all want to know more about Him and grow in Him every day. And as a Christian, we read His Word deeper than anyone else. We know the Bible more than anyone else. We interpret the scripture, we teach the scripture. To me, for a person like me, I spent 3 to 4 years studying His word in a seminary. You know, studying His Word. But if we are not careful enough, we might end up like these disciples who miss out the great opportunities. Disciples were the one who was always with Him. We were the one who attend the church every Sunday. We were the one who read the Bible much more than anyone else. We were the one who prayed. Disciples were listening to Him, eating together with Him all the time. They were praying with Him together, serving together with Him. They witnessed all the miracles that He performed. They were trained by Jesus. They are the one who knew Jesus more than anyone else. But at this point of time, they missed out. Even Jesus was telling them that His time is very limited. They were not able to understand. They were not able to grab that concept. He said, "My time is near. The poor people will always be there with you, but I am not." She has done what she could before the burial, but they were not able to understand that what Jesus is going to go through. They end up complaining instead of giving their best to Jesus. They end up scolding, criticizing to those who are doing their best to Jesus, to those who are serving to Jesus. They end up complaining and crumbling for the best things that others did to Jesus. It could happen to each one of us if we are not careful in it. You might know many things about God, but there's a great possibility that you end up without knowing Him personally. No. There's a possibility that your master doesn't recognize you even and not honor you. You may know many things about Jesus, but if Jesus don't know you, then what's the point of knowing about Him so much? It is better to know little about Him, but He recognizes you. He honors you. Let us give our best. I just want to encourage church to give our best generously to God. It could be in giving. It could be in your service. It could be in your workplace. It could be in terms of the family, taking care of your kids, your spouse. Let's just give our best shot. In terms of our hearts, offering our hearts to Jesus, these women, unnamed women, a very insignificant woman, was able to do that. That's her devotion. She just gave it all. She just offered everything. She didn't keep anything for herself. She just gave out generously without wasting her time. She took the right opportunity, grabbed the right privilege, and served Him. And after that, Jesus was taken to the cross in verse 10. That's how the time was very limited, and then she did her best in the right time. Let's think about it. Our hearts, whenever we give to God, maybe our service, our hearts, how are we giving? How are we offering to God? Is it a half-hearted or is it full? Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. If we give the whole, if we love the Lord with all our heart, you know, how much heart is left over to love for other things, you know? If we love the Lord with all our strength, how much strength is left over to love for the things that are in the world? Loving God with all our heart, strength, mind. And He deserved that. The moment you start giving your best to God, He will recognize you and He will honor you. May God bless each one of us to be more sensitive in giving our best to our Lord Jesus as we listen to this short devotion and learn from this woman what she had done to Jesus at the point of his death. She did the right thing in the right time. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for the word that has come to us from the life of this woman. Help us to think about it. Help us to examine ourselves, our lives, how, in terms of our giving, our hearts to you, Lord, in terms of our devotion to you, Lord, in terms of our worship to you, Lord, whether we are really focusing on you, whether we are giving all wholeheartedly or we are just giving a little part of our hearts in worshiping you, in giving our hearts to you, Lord. And at this point of time, we want to thank you for the word from this woman that she gave out everything without holding back anything for herself. She gave out everything. And that's what we want to do. We want to worship you wholeheartedly. We want to give you our whole devotion. We want to leave with you wholeheartedly. We want to love you, Lord, with all our hearts, with all our strength, with all our mind. Help us to live out loud, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.